For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
All right. St. Louis obviously has a very, very robust, as I've been saying, Irish heritage. Mm-hmm. Through so much of St. Louis, some of that's connected to the Catholic influence in St. Louis. Others just, a lineage of Irish background to it. But there's a book called The Irish in St. Louis, From Shanty to Lace Curtain, and it was written by Patrick Murphy. And Patrick, I don't know if there is a more Irish name for the St. Patrick's Day than Patrick Murphy. So you're the right person to write the book. St. Louis
People meet me, they do make certain assumptions. Yeah,
that's right. Yeah. Well, we mentioned earlier that St. Patrick is the patron saint of acceptable stereotypes. So
never waste a stereotype.
No,
problem with stereotypes is quite often just a little bit of truth in there.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yep. Well, okay. So Patrick. So obviously, the St. Louis is one of those places where just St. Patrick's Day is a big deal. But that has to do, in large part, I think, because of that Irish heritage in town. How influential has that been over the decades of St. Louis's history?
Yeah, I mean, even over the centuries. I mean, the first St. Patrick's Day in St. Louis was like in 1820. And the big St. Patrick's Day, of course, it started in 1970, the one downtown in the 1980s, the one today, the Hibernian one, I think in downtown. I think one of the reasons that it stayed alive is because there was an effort to sort of suppress it for a long time. It's funny, we got two parades now in St. Louis. Everybody wants to be Irish, like one week out of the year. But it wasn't always like that. And I heard stories in my family from the old guys who would talk about, there were signs in the factories that said no Irish need apply. There were even riots where they tried to burn down Irish neighborhoods back in the 19th century. And when people are trying to put you down, I think you put a little more effort into preserving your heritage and your customs and your stories. And, today, like, it's from going to kind of a despised, Catholic, foreign, poor minority in St. Louis, like I said, everybody wants to be Irish today. And, I think that's cool. If you want to be Irish, go right ahead.
Good morning, Patrick. Gabe Pfeiffer here. I was actually going to ask about the discrimination aspect of it, but since you already mentioned, when do you think there was that turn where where St. Louis went from a no Catholics here sign having a place to a everybody's Irish on St. Patrick's Day?
I think the Irish started to assimilate like around the time of the First World War. By that time, Kerry Patch, that's where my family's from, on the north side, it had started to become not exclusively Irish. And there were like Irish songs on the Victrolas, like my Irish Wild Rose and things like that. It started to become a part of the popular culture. The Irish started moving into police departments and fire departments and start construction companies, and they started becoming acceptable. So a lot of the just blatant discrimination sort of disappeared, I think, around the time of the first World War.
Hey, Patrick, this is Stel, and it's nice to talk to you, my friend.
Hey, yeah, we go way back, don't we?
Boy, we sure do, to the KSLQ days back in the 70s here in St. Louis. Yeah, that's a long time ago. Oh, my goodness. I did want to ask you about the neighborhoods because you mentioned Kerry Patch. Tell us a little bit about the different Irish neighborhoods in town.
Well, Kerry Patch was when a lot of the Irish started coming here during the famine in the 1840s. There was a guy named John Mullanphy. He was a millionaire. He owned land in the near north side, and he let these thousands and thousands of Irish coming off of the landing just kind of squat on the near north side, the places that are now between 6th Street and Jefferson and O'Fallon and Cass, streets like that on the north side. And that just became a huge sprawling ghetto for like half a century. But then there was also Dogtown, which a lot of Irish started moving out there because there were quarries and they could make bricks and things like that. That was an Irish neighborhood around St. James Parish. And by the way, it's not called Dogtown because of the World's Fair. Dogtown was a name that applied to just about any mining camp. It was a term all over the United States. Then there was a third one, and this surprised me. There was a third neighborhood called The Patch, not Kerry Patch, but just The Patch. And that was in Carondelet because they were building boats and had a lot of heavy industry down there. And the church down there was St. Columbkill. And so there were basically three big Irish neighborhoods in town.
You say everybody in St. Louis, obviously, when we think of an ethnic neighborhood, people tend to go right to the hill and the Italian heritage there. And every city's got, you know, this part of town is, you know, whether it's Hispanic or this part of town is the Italian area in the bigger cities. Is St. Louis different or similar to all the others when it comes to kind of how those areas tended to be concentrated with sort of holding on to the cultures?
Yeah, and it's changed probably since World War II. It's not nearly as much as strongly ethnic as it used to be, because again, a lot of people learn English and they kind of settle in and they move to the suburbs. But north of Cary Patch, around St. Stan, that was Polish, and of course, you know, there was the Italian part of town one time in the central near the central west end, and then later on the hill. There was, like Germans everywhere. And it was pretty, there was Czech, where St. John Nepomuk is in Szilard. That was an area called Little Bohemia. And Archbishop Kenrick, he wanted to make sure that every ethnic group that came over from Europe had its own church. So, like, there might be, like, six blocks apart, St. Boniface and Carondelet from St. Columbkill. I mean, you want to make sure these people aren't worshiping together, right? who knows what could happen? So, you know, Kenry made sure the Italians had their church and the Irish had their church and the German. That's why, you know, you drive downtown and you look over the horizon coming down 44 and, like, there's steeples everywhere. And, it kind of sets a nice tone and beautiful architecture for the city, too.
What would you categorize as the biggest impact the Irish have had on this area?
Charm.
Oh, the Irish charm.
Irish charm. We've lightened things up a little bit, you know. Oh, you know, I think, you know, every ethnic group contributes its own customs and its own style. I mean, there's Irish dance. Irish music is huge, and it just keeps getting bigger and bigger. There are all kinds of Irish. Down at the St. Patrick's Day parade downtown, there were like six different floats for different Irish dancing groups. You can go just about anywhere, particularly today, and hear Irish music. But they're just, you know, like Irish stories and Irish expressions and Murphy's Law. You know, everywhere you look, there's some little remnant or trace of Ireland. And of course, for a long time, you know, the Irish were very influential in politics and still are, you know, in St. Louis and surrounding areas.
Yeah, and, I go to some of the Scottish, you know, Highland Games and much of those, and those same dance groups, those Celtic dance groups, Irish dance groups, they're really popular at all of those events as well.
And River Dance, like, just knocked it out of the park. River Dance, like, on PBS, get a plug-in for PBS here, Channel 9, it really even popularized it more. But, you know, it's just also the Irish really, you talk about legacies. I think if there's any group of ethnic Americans who have more reason to believe in the American dream, I'm not going to go all sappy on you now and corny, but it would be the Irish. I mean, they really came out. Came to America with nothing. Like, who comes to America if you don't have to, right? They're either going to hang you or you're starving wherever you came from. So you arrive here with nothing and, like, hard work and sticking together and realizing that, you know, it's up to you because nobody's going to give it to you. And over a few generations, basically, you know, established. Hasn't worked that way for everybody, but it did for the Irish. And I think most Irish Americans consider themselves pretty fortunate.
All right. Then the book, The Irish in St. Louis, grab my readers here, From Shanty to Lace Curtain by Patrick Murphy, our guest right now. That's available pretty much everywhere, right?
Yeah, I hope so. Yeah, it should be just about everywhere. I'm going to be at Straub's in Webster from 11 to 1 today. Oh. And if you're in the neighborhood, drop by. I'll sign one for you.
Awesome, awesome. And this is both storytelling and a lot of pictures. So it's kind of a coffee table book.
Yeah.
It is. It's kind of, you don't have to start at page one and read to page 200. You kind of skip around whatever pictures catch your imagination. It's about 80 different stories about people, places, interesting events, and things like that. And all together, I think they kind of tell the story of Irish America in St. Louis.
All right, great. Patrick Murphy, once again, the book is The Irish in St. Louis. Going to be at Straub's in Webster today. Hey, Patrick, thanks for the time today.
Hey. Thank you, guys, and have a great St. Paddy's.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.